Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while the judge refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to God's own elect who are crying out day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Gospel of the Lord. Pray always. Do not lose heart. Jesus speaks to a universal condition. We all face something in our lives which pushes us toward losing heart. And in the context of the healing service that we will have today, it seems an especially appropriate encouragement. Pray and take heart. Jesus is saying that heart comes through prayer. Heart comes through a communicative connection with God. Will not God grant help our heart in the story, the word justice is used, to those who cry out day and night? Day and night. It's an interesting phrase. If help comes quickly, why are we crying out day and night, continuously, if you will? Is it possible that both are true at the same time? Help comes quickly. Because of our condition, we cry out day and night. God brings help, yet we cry out continuously. In our story from the Hebrew scripture, Jacob wrestled at night. Don't most of us, as we're alone with our thoughts, reviewing the day, reviewing the years, our fears and troubles. Jacob, in the story, has problems at both ends of his life. Behind him is his father-in-law, Laban, whom he has cleverly deceived. And he's not that Laban also didn't deceive Jacob as well, but so he's, in a sense, fleeing his father-in-law, but in his future, in front of him, is his brother Esau. And you remember how he treated Esau, how he cheated Esau out of his birthright. So he's living in fear of a past that's kind of trying to catch up with him, and of a future that he's very uncertain about, given his own deception of his brother, how he beat Esau out of his birthright. But as he cries out, as he wrestles, it becomes clear that the real problem is Jacob himself, that he, as a person, as a human being, is a deceiver. And that is the problem which the divine wrestler addresses. "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, new name, new identity. You will no longer live by deception, but strive with God. The issues of the world are still out there. Esau is coming. But God has seen you in your worst, has seen you face to face, heart to heart, if you will, and given you a new identity, new strength, a new future. In the parable that Jesus tells, the woman is in a different situation, different context, to use our adult education conversation this morning. Bad things in life have befallen her. She is widowed and absolutely powerless in society. She is the least and the lost. And Luke's gospel particularly identifies and focuses on the least and the lost. She may have a personal opponent who is unnamed, who perhaps is cheating her, and the widows were just easy prey for being cheated in that society. But mostly, she is caught in a system of oppression and disregard. And the judge represents that system. He may be a jerk, but Jesus is saying, you need to do something about an unjust system that renders some people powerless and takes advantage of the weak. It's a different kind of message. And very interestingly, I was kind of wrestled with that line at the end. Would Jesus find faith on earth? If he were to come today, in our social context, in our cultural context, in our religious context, would he find faith on earth if he were to come today? Pray always, and do not lose heart. That's such a bold, bold statement. And interestingly, we often think, as we come in repentance, I've read a couple of books recently, and people are identifying that a lot of our acts of repentance are almost like craven groveling. And there's a kind of real reaction against that in our society today. In that context, interestingly, Jacob is afraid, but he's not craven. He is bold in his wrestling, even confrontational with God. I'm not letting go. Bless me. Change me. Give me heart. And similarly, the widow keeps coming. Jesus makes the analogy with the judge. Keep coming. Keep praying. God will surely answer. But as we look about in our context today, in the world today, you got to ask the question, does God answer? Is God answering? What about the millions of powerless people in this world whose lives, whose very existence is a terror? The answer that did not delay is Jesus the Christ himself, who also was absolutely bold in his insistence to give us and all people new life, new identities, and a new calling. He bore the deadly power of our old identities and the deadly system's power, which were created to protect power of the judge and so forth. God, in return, however, does not judge with retribution and condemnation. In forgiveness and love and resurrection life, God gives us in Christ Jesus new identities as God's children and calls us to new communities, to new ways of being, to trust God that we are made new in Christ Jesus, to live boldly and faithfully, to bring life to all people. Amen.